Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here, getting you ready for our Big Brother Think Tank with Spencer Clausen and Ian Terry, in which we're going to take a bunch of submissions from you guys and talk about your ideas and which ones are good and which ones are bad for Big Brother twist ideas and season themes and all sorts of stuff like that. Before we get to today's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor, and those are our friends over at True Car, because if you make a big purchase, like say buying a new car, don't you want and expect a transparent buying process that'll give you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal? So to understand the power of transparency, it's even more important than the power of veto. You need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car that you're looking for down to the zip code. So you can know what to expect to pay for the car you want. It's pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, you could lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, and never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's ready to say, who wants to hear my ideas for the Big Brother Think Tank? Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special live edition of Rob Has a Podcast. We are going to be doing some fun stuff tonight, talking about your ideas that were submitted for the Big Brother Think Tank. We had about 100 listener submitted ideas. We're not going to talk about all of them. We're going to talk about some of the very best and some of the other ones here tonight with our panel of Big Brother experts. Okay, first, let me introduce you to the Big Brother alumni that are joining us here on the panel. Here is the person that we were talking about this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. He said he would join us, and he's very generous to come back. First, welcome Spencer Clausen.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me. And dude, over 100 submissions. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great audience participation. That's fantastic.
Yeah, people are excited for the Big Brother Think Tank because we know twists are coming. The twists
are coming.
The twists are coming. They'll probably be bad, but we want to put some good ones out into the atmosphere. And then joining us for the first time since Big Brother 16 back last summer, here he is. He was at the Big Brother Canada jury house, and now here he is back here on Rob's the Podcast. It's Ian Terry.
Thank you for having me, Rob. It's great to be back. Man, that jury house was a great time. I'll say that much.
Yes, Ian, how was the jury house? You're so unfamiliar to jury houses.
Yeah, it was my first time, obviously, and yeah, I had a really good time partying with them after the shoot.
Yeah, the three of us have spent a combined 0 days in the Big Brother jury house.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good stat.
That is a good stat, yeah.
Actually, all of my coworkers also, total of 0 hours spent there.
All right. And then also with us tonight, the man who has been on the back end of all of this, he's gone through all of your submissions. Here is the great Mike Bloom. Mike, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. I got my Twister shirt on. Let's twist again like we did last summer, shall we?
Yes. And we've got our Twistos out and we are ready to go. We are within just outside of about 2.5 weeks until the start of Big Brother 17. Ian, what are you doing to prepare? What's your training regimen like for Big Brother 17, preparing to watch it?
Well, school just let out today. So I've been on a really intense, I've been working out. I'm lifting up the 25-pound barbells lately.
Yes.
So we're getting a lot stronger. I've stocked up on chocolate Clif granola bars.
Okay.
And I've also surplused on Pepsi Max. So that's my prep.
Hey, did you hear that Eric Stein is going away on a long trip this summer that he just announced?
I actually did not hear of this, although I will say I'm actually going to Korea on June 21st.
Oh, Korea.
Wow, Korea.
Yeah, around that.
Wow.
Yeah. Excellent. Oh, Eric Stein. Yeah, I heard that too, Rob. I heard he's going to be away.
He's going.
So that's interesting.
He's going backpacking across Europe, I heard, in June.
Oh, good for him. He's going to be
exciting.
He wanted me, if anybody has messages for him, just to hold them until he gets back. All right.
He asked me to run all his social media accounts. I'm not really sure why that one, but anyway.
All right. Well,
we don't have many to run then.
Of course, we got the chat room open here on robiswebsite.com. We're also taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. We're going to do another Big Brother podcast tomorrow. We're going to speak with the winner of Big Brother Canada 3. Sarah is going to join us at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. So that's going to be a live show. So we're going to do back-to-back Big Brother here over the next 48 hours here on Rob as a Podcast. We're getting ready, getting back in mid-season form to talk some Big Brother. So I'm very excited.
Man, that's awesome.
Very excited. Spencer, you went to go party with the Big Brother Canada 3 cast in Niagara Falls, right? Mm-hmm. How was that?
I did. Yeah, man. We went there to Toronto and to Niagara Falls. It was awesome. McCray and I, we snuck into the production party, after party that we were invited to. And I got to meet everybody. And it was awesome. Honestly, like, I'm not just saying this. There wasn't a dud in the whole crew. Everybody was really nice. Everybody was cool. Had fun with everybody. Just couldn't have asked for a better trip. The weather was gorgeous. Toronto is always cool. Plus, got to see some of the where they're filming Suicide Squad. You'd see the Joker mobile, which was awesome. And I mean, hey man, you got Sarah, Brittany. You're hanging out with the Fembots and the Joker mobile. It's a pretty damn good trip.
That's a wild, wild weekend with the Big Brother cast. All right.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But no, seriously, they're all awesome. I mean, as you interview them, you'll find out they're, I mean, you know, you'll see they're great people.
Okay.
They are actually a really great group. After the jury roundtable, I spent some time with them, and they're, like you said, there is not a dud in that bunch. They were fun. I had a great time. We all had a great time.
No duds. Yes.
Not a dud.
That's good. That's what we like. All right.
No fuddy duddies.
All right.
No yes.
And before we find out if we have any duds as far as twist ideas go, we're getting ready for Big Brother 17 here. There's a lot going on. People are buying live feeds left and right. We've got our live feed bingo is going to be back this year. And the big change we made, you don't even have to buy live feeds from us. We're letting anybody play Big Brother Bingo with us. Somebody's going to win $500 this summer playing live feed bingo. Go to robiswebsite.com/bingo to sign up for your card and figure out how to do it. We might be biting off more than we can chew. I might have lost my mind, but we're just going to let anybody play Big Brother Bingo.
Your work ethic is impressive. I've got to tell you that. It is impressive.
Look. I'd have to get a real job if I didn't work so hard. So yeah. I work very hard to not have to go to work. All right.
I got you.
All right. Let's get into our think tank. Here we go, Mike Bloom. Where do you want to start? How are you going to do this? And I actually have not looked these over. Mike holds all of the cards tonight. So we're going to bang through this, probably try to go for about 2 hours or so here and see how many of these ideas we're going to put through. Now, Spencer and Ian, we want to come up with, we need like a catchphrase for what the ideas we're going to send to the Big Brother house. In the Survivor think tank, we used to say, you're going to Samoa. What are we going to say for the ideas we're going to put through? What would we say to a Big Brother idea that we're getting sending into the house?
Oh,
should we give it its key?
You're getting a key.
I like that. I like give it its key. And for the ones that don't make it, straight to Grodner's trash can.
Grodner's recycle bin, please. Please. We want to be environmentally friendly. Yes, very green. All right. Let's start, Mike Bloom. Where do you want to go?
So actually, I'll start with actually an idea that I'd like to suggest. And if you guys have ideas,
oh,
that you'd like
Mike
to suggest,
Bloom, well. You shuffled your idea to the top of the deck. I mean, honestly, is there any integrity?
Listen, nepotism is not out of the question here.
I do not know what kind of think tank I was getting involved in. Continue.
The dirtiest think tank you can imagine. But I thought I'd start off with just a twist that I came up with, and I think Rob, you have one too. That if you want to suggest that. After mine, the one I came up with, I can't exactly credit 100% to myself. This is actually something I picked up from watching season 3 of a show called The Genius. I know Ian's ears just perked up when I said that. But basically, it's a take on how we can try to get rid of the quote unquote pawn problem on Big Brother. And this is a twist I like to call pieces of veto. And basically what happens is if two people are nominated, one gets evicted, the person who survives the eviction gets a piece of the power of veto. And there can be, you know, three pieces, four pieces, what have you. And if somebody has three pieces or four pieces and they put them together, they make an entire veto and they can use it for that week. So that means that if people are put up in multiple weeks, they can work together to make a power of veto to save somebody. That means you might have people volunteering to go on the block as a pawn to try to get a piece of a veto as well. I think there's a lot of different permutations that can come up with it. And on the bright side, people will not want to nominate the same person week after week after week, because that means that it's just going to give them a veto that they can use later on to take themselves off the block.
How many pieces of the veto do you need to form a complete power of veto?
If we're going with these casts of 16 people, I would say let's make it four, just to make it a big enough
four
number.
Four pieces of veto.
It's a big cast.
Questions. All right.
I can get with that.
I have some questions.
All right, Ian.
Go ahead.
When does it expire, number one?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe, how about final, it can't be, maybe final like seven or six. I would say, you know, when they have like, when they typically have the double eviction around like final nine or eight or seven, probably around that area, mid-jury. That way, because I know five and four are really powerful vetoes.
Hmm. Okay, question number two. If it gets used once, does that take it out of play or does it just keep going until...
I would say if it's going to end mid-jury, it just keeps going. So that way there's a potential. And maybe four is too big of a number then. Maybe we scale it back down to three. But there's a potential to use it like two or three. Well,
Question number three, are the pieces transferable?
Yes.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. The pieces have to be transferable, in my opinion. I think it's a fine idea. I definitely want to see more and different versions of vetoes. So I think that's great.
All right.
The Onyx veto, if you will.
What I would like to see, I feel like, with this is it probably, like, maybe it's just for the beginning of the game. Maybe it's just for the first half of the game. Because I feel like now we're going to have multiple powers of veto in play when we start getting down to smaller numbers. Like, maybe this should just be pre-jury and you only need two. What do you think of that? Would that make it better or worse?
I pre-jury I could do. I don't know if I can settle on two, to be honest, because I feel like two is just like, well, if you nominate a pair, then they'll get it and then they'll use it. And I guess if you want to make it good TV and you know there's a limited amount of rounds, I guess that would help. But I feel like three is a good number, personally.
Three is a great number.
I think three would be good if you do it pre-jury. I think that would be a great way to run that.
Okay.
So because three would be tough to get, but you know, you got 16 house guests each season, and there's a lot of people that have to go. It's a lot of weeks before jury, pending double evictions and such. So there's time to earn it, and then if you don't get it, you just don't get it. So.
All right. So then for the viewers at home, will they be able to keep track of who has that many pieces of the veto?
There's something that we have a myriad of ways for people to track things on the internet nowadays. I think if we can track who's a have not for the week, I think if we can track who has pieces of veto, and they can very easily say, I remember I got this piece of veto back in week two, you know, cut to blue screen people getting it.
It would be easy to keep up with if it was based on whoever came off the block, whoever stayed that week. So, yeah. I mean, a true fan would be able to remember it that way. Maybe just people that have trouble remembering, you know, you could easily just when they pop up in the diary room, it says, you know, whoever from wherever or whatever they do. It also says, you know, holder of, two out of three pieces of the veto or whatever.
And so when does the veto have to be played, the pieces of veto? Is this at the regular veto ceremony? Like, let's say the veto is used and then somebody is getting backdoored. Does the pieces of veto have to be used at that moment?
Yeah, I would say so. It's very similar to what Allison used with the Scarlet Veto in Big Brother Canada, too. I think it has to be used at that veto ceremony.
You know. See, I almost feel like that if somebody was getting backdoored, this is almost a way to get out of being backdoored. But let's say there's like three pieces of the veto that are scattered through the house. if I am going up on the block to get backdoored, that I might be able to put this together sort of like, you know, behind the scenes. But now I'm kind of sort of screwed because my only time to do it was at the veto ceremony.
Yeah, well, it would be a great auxiliary savior to come in, you know, if you were being backdoored, to be able to hatch a plan to get somebody to transfer their pieces of veto to you to save you. Or, I mean, I don't, that'd be, it probably wouldn't happen, but it'd be cool to see somebody try it.
You know? Do you think that it also taking a page from the genius could be injected into other, you know, like ways of earning these pieces? For instance, like we see the Yankees swap veto every summer. Perhaps one of the six prizes is like a quarter of a veto or something like that.
I was thinking about like when I was first thinking about this twist, I thought like, oh, maybe we incorporate like luxury competitions back into the house, and this could be a prize for that. Before I settled on the nomination thing, but that could definitely be it as well, to kind of use it as some sort of currency in other competitions.
I just also want to state for the record that Allison Grodner, feel free to take anything that we're giving you, Robin Cass, anybody associated with Big Brother. This all stuff is, we're not going to sue or anything like that. Hey, that was our idea. We'd be very honored. Anything we use, we're just putting it out there, public domain. Yes. Feel free.
Absolutely. Our intellectual property can be used by anybody.
Yes, we want you guys to use it.
Are we giving it its key to get in the house? Oh.
Okay, I think
definitely.
All right. Well, I think we're all going to put this through. Okay. You're getting the key pieces of veto.
All right. Starting off on a good note.
There you go. All right. Mike Bloom has just like on The Bachelor, you know, you want to start out with wifey first. And so you've given us a good idea to start off with. All right. Where are we going next, Mike?
All right. So, we're going to take a page. We took a page out of the Genius's book. Let's take a page out of Survivor's book. There were a couple twists that were suggested a hearty amount of times, and I'll take this specific response from Snappy, who says, "I think Big Brother should take a twist from Survivor and give an extra vote to someone. It could really come in handy for those close votes, helping one side of the house have the numbers and changing up the game. By telling other people about this extra vote, it might help make people feel more comfortable taking a risk and voting out a big threat." So basically, like we saw on Survivor this season, the extra vote, not vote doubler, extra vote.
Well, this would be a vote doubler in this instance, because on Survivor, unless there was going to be three nominees, you would only, unless you wanted to put one vote on one person, one vote on the other person, it's like a hinky vote. All right, so we'll just call it the extra vote advantage. All right. So on Survivor this season, we saw the extra vote advantage not really work out so great for Dan, but it was a big topic of conversation in the post-merge game. All right, Spencer and Ian, what do we think of the extra vote advantage?
Love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Anything like this that's really just a small wrinkle. I'm really getting sick of the major, long, 8-week twist that really just change it into something resembling Big Brother. So something like this or the pieces of veto, I would be strongly for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to see something like this. My only thing, though, is I would not want it to be voted on by the fans, just because you don't know what person they're going to give it to. And, you know, you don't want, you know, somebody, you know what I'm saying? Somebody's playing a good game to get twisted out of the house, which is what happens to a lot of Big Brother Canadians this year. So I think that it should be something where a prize you win, a contest, maybe something you find hidden in the wall. I mean, just something like that.
Okay. So should it be something like finding the hidden immunity idol like Ian was looking for in the Big Brother house?
Absolutely.
Ian?
A+.
Yeah, something that could shift power like that, absolutely. I don't want it to get in the hands of an audience who may be blindly voting or not voting the way I want them to. So I want it to be something that you earn, you find it.
Ian, would that be good TV if they told the Big Brother contestants that there was something hidden in the house? Or would it just be that the house gets just ripping the house apart 24/7 and it would make for the house would be a mess and bad TV?
The latter. I actually would feel something like Rachel or Allison had, like their puzzle hunt in the house. I think that's the best way to go about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to tell everybody that there's some sort of advantage in the house, and then, or have some sort of a like spool of lies type thing where we're just going to like have like a riddle to figure out, and that's going to lead them to where they have to go.
I wouldn't even tell them that it's there. I would just let somebody lift up a rock and then see like letters written on it and then start to figure it out themselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. And you know what? It wouldn't take a lot of pride, really, because, you know, I look for things in the Big Brother house that I thought may have some kind of like something behind it, or, you know, I pulled on things, you know, that kind of stuff. Just I'm looking for something. So people will find it. If you set it in place, somebody will find it.
I remember there was like a little cat bank, because we had like the Tokyo house and, you know, had the hen like that. And it had like little rubber, you know, plug on the bottom. And I oftentimes would pull it out, seeing if there was like a quarter or something in there.
When,
claw machine.
When would the extra vote expire? Final five?
Sure. Final five.
Yeah, because you can't really...
That's taking it deep.
That'd be huge if somebody played it at final five.
Yeah, but one thing with a power like that is, like, this season we on Survivor, we saw it in the hands of somebody who wouldn't know how to use it if it was, you know, charged out for them. So if you had somebody who was really playing the game, Big Brother, that knew how to use it, it would be awesome if they could keep their mouth shut about it and save it all the way until it was like a really big moment in the game, a really big week.
Would this be like the first, like coup d'etat twist where you would prefer it where they could tell people about it, or would you prefer it be something that they're not allowed to tell anyone about it until they play it during the eviction?
I don't know. That kind of stuff is whatever. I always hate it when like, one alliance member is like this year on BB Can with Sarah and Brittany, when Brittany had the power and Sarah was like pleading and begging and doing, trying to get jury vote or trying to get people to vote to keep her. I hate it when an alliance member is running circles they don't have to run in. So in that respect, it'd be cool to tell them that they could tell people. But I don't know. I mean, one of those things. It's just kind of, what do y'all think?
You need to be able to tell people, because you could do things like, you know, Mike Boogie and All Stars and telling people about this power and be able to, you could even be able to leverage it to be more and more, and the threat that I'm going to use it every single week. I think you definitely need people to be able to say that they're going to use it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in favor of it being okay for discussion. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. This could be a big deal. I'm in on the extra vote.
Yep, me too.
I'm in.
It's a key party. Everybody's turning. We're all going to turn our key. I think we need 2 out of 3 people to turn the key.
Like an American Idol audition?
Yes. I think so. Okay. I think so. All right. So good. So Mike, you're 2 for 2 so far.
All right. Let's get a terrible idea here. So
give me a terrible idea. Yeah. What's a bad one?
Well, now I don't. Now I'm going to like.
Chicken suits 24/7.
The poor person who submitted an idea.
Stick to the plan, Mike.
Yeah. All right. Let me see if I can find an interesting one. There is one that I believe was brought up during one of these Survivor think tanks that I think we'd be able to apply Big Brother to. This is from Jiffy P. How about a season of Big Brother called Dog versus Dog? Every player gets to bring their dog to the house, but the dog is also a veto. If you use your dog as a veto, it has to leave the house.
And be put down or just leave?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's a little, I think the ASPCA would get on Big Brother very quickly if that was the case.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Obviously that's, yeah.
All right. All right. We're out on.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Send that right one to Allison Grodner's recycle bin.
Told me to give you a terrible one, so I supply you.
Okay. There you go.
All right, we're out on dog party. Okay.
That'll probably be the actual twist this year.
I got one I want to throw at y'all, all right?
All right.
Do it.
All right, here we go. I want live feeds for the jury house, to where the jury house can watch live feeds with no sound.
Whoa.
That way they can see who's hustling. Maybe if it was 1 hour a day, even something like that, maybe not full access, but they can see who's bouncing around talking to who, that kind of stuff. They can really see, have a better clue. Even though they can't hear anything, they can really see who's playing the game and how it's being done. So I think that I think something like that would really be huge for a jury to have that kind of information. You know, because even like you could be watching the live feed, or you could be watching the feeds, and there'd be somebody back in the bedroom crying or having a breakdown, or having a really bad day. It could gain sympathy on the jury, you know, if they got to the end. You know, anything like that would be interesting. It could play a big role in how the vote comes out at the end. And I don't know. I've always wanted the jury to have access to what's actually going on in the house and not what tries to, you know, the information gets filtered back to the jury.
All right.
Because that's always tainted, slanted, or what have you.
Ian, I'm very interested to get your take on this. As somebody who's gone to the final two on Big Brother, do you wish that the Big Brother jury had access to live feeds?
That one, I'm not so sure that I'm interested in that one. I think my reasoning there is that I don't necessarily, I don't even think that they should get footage of the challenges, to be honest. I think they should be told what happens, but I really don't like that they get footage of that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would rather the jury not even have a jury house. I'd rather them go to, I mean, granted, as long as it's not me that has to do it, separate hotel rooms.
Okay.
Pool access like 45 minutes a day, gym access 45 minutes a day.
No way, you can't do that. You can't do that.
I mean, it would suck for them.
You'd send people that were clueless to the jury. Think about like, I mean, you know, there are definitely people in your jury and my own season, our jury, that leaving the house, the information they had in their head was jumbled. They were confused about it. They had no idea what was going on in the first place. And you send them to jury and you sequester them in a hotel other than an hour and a half each day, bring them back in 6 weeks and say, hey, vote on these two people that you hated when you left and didn't know what was going on. I mean, like, that's tough. Like, the live feeds, I don't think you should be all access, but like silence for an hour. I mean, I don't know.
I'm trying to come into this from the perspective of the TV show. Are we improving the TV show? Or are we making it worse? I feel like this is something that's not really going to have an effect on the TV show because unless we like do a jury house update and we see somebody talk about, hey, oh my God, I just saw that person was crying in the house and I feel bad for them and that changes my perception of this person. I feel like it's not going to have a big effect on the show. It might have an effect on the outcome. It might have effect on who the winner is, but I don't think that we have like the season where we say like, oh, the jury, you know, was all screwed up about what was going on in the house and stuff and that sort of thing. If we were coming off a season where it was like, oh, you know, it really should have been Cody that won and they needed to see what was really going on in the house. I don't think that we have the need for that right now.
Well, I think it would change the game. I think it'd be a game changer for the jury to have more information.
Yeah. So. And Dan Giesling might say, we do need this.
Yeah. He might. All right. Go ahead and buzz me. Damn it.
All right. We're going to buzz. Sorry. All right. Send directly to Allison Grodner's in exactly. Recycle bin. All right. Live feeds at Live Feeds at the Jury House. All right. Is out. All right. What's next, Mike?
All right. So this is from Ron Chan.
Okay.
Up until the final five, the evicted player gets to cast an eviction vote for a remaining house guest. This vote wouldn't count if the player receiving the vote wins veto. So again, taking a page from Survivor's book, I believe Survivor Israel maybe might have used this. It's called like the black vote, where the person who leaves gets to cast a vote on their way out, and that would go towards the eviction in the next round.
Here's the big problem with that. This isn't Survivor, where the person who is going to be in the... anybody could be voted out. In Big Brother, it's like, hey, I'm going to cast a vote for Boogie on my way out of the house, but you know, it's Ian and Spencer on the block this week. So what happens to my vote?
Yeah, I think it just goes into the vote ethos. I'm assuming it wouldn't come if Boogie gets nominated three rounds later. I'm assuming that vote won't come back to haunt him. Like, oh yeah, remember juror number one? He just cast a vote your way. Well, now it's like the Jeff Varner approach where you pay for your past votes.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way that this could work. I mean, maybe if there was something, maybe if we go back to the pieces of veto and I'm leaving, I could give my piece of the veto to somebody. I don't know, but I don't think that you could do this on Big Brother. I think it's a good idea for Survivor, but I don't think it's a good idea for Big Brother. Sorry, Ron.
Yeah.
You guys in agreement?
True. I agree. Right.
Sorry. No dice, Ron. Stick to which is more likely to happen? Okay. All right.
Did that ever happen in Survivor? I can't remember that.
No, we never had a season where we did that on Survivor. International Survivor. Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mike, what do you got? What's number six?
All right, number six, this is going to be very familiar to Spencer because it is a play on the twist from his season. Okay. And this is the other one that we got a lot of variations on, but I'll read the one from Will Olson. The HOH should nominate three people, and then whoever wins the POV has to use it. No replacement nominee, just the other two nominees left on the block. So a small twist on what happened in BB15, but instead of three people facing the vote, it would be two.
Would there be an MVP also?
Probably not.
Okay. Spencer, what do you think of this? So three nominees, but if somebody uses the veto, they're just off and no replacement nom.
I think it's interesting. I think it would be so crappy to be HOH because you'd get, you know, there'd be two people staying that you'd have made mad by nominating them possibly. So it's huge. Winning HOH would be a huge risk in a season like that. But somebody's going to have to win it every week, so it will naturally happen. It's not like there's not going to be an HOH. So I could see it. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. And if the veto had to be played, that would also be interesting because of things that could possibly expose or what have you. So,
see, I think from the perspective of TV, I think that this is not good. Because now we're losing we're going to put a replacement nominee up. We're going to backdoor somebody. And I feel like that there's a lot of intrigue in that that Wednesday night veto episode that we're just going to lose, where somebody is going to, you know, win the veto and we know automatically what's going to happen. There's no drama of who we're going to put up instead. And I think that's a big part of that Wednesday night episode, Ian.
Well, it could shift the intrigue though to who's going to get played on, and who's actually going to be on the chopping block when it comes to voting night. So I don't know. I mean, Big Brother's got to evolve. Like, so you think about what's good for TV. Like, yeah, there's a learning curve on that, but it's no different than trying to learn two HOHs in the Battle of the Block. For God's sakes, I mean that was a struggle even for people that like Big Brother. But I don't know. I think something like this is a doable twist because it would be one of those like first third of the season twist. I think it would stop and the veto would go to where it's played normally. But you wouldn't have to have a replacement nom. You'd basically be nominating your potential replacement nom on the front end. I don't know. I like game changing things. That does change the game and exposes where people really are. You can tell somebody they're a pawn, but it's hard to tell two people they're a pawn if you know you're lying to one or maybe both of them.
Well, I'm going to come back. Let me just jump in here real quick. And then, Ian, I'm going to come back around on this because maybe from a TV viewer's perspective, if I have a guy in the house who's a big challenge beast, if I've got a Frank, if I got a James Ryan, now you can't backdoor this person. Now this is you've taken the back door off the table for the HOH. So now you have your big popular character. You can't go ahead and backdoor them in this because they're going to get to play in that veto no matter what. You're basically, you're closing the back door, Ian.
Yeah, and I actually think that's my main problem with this is that as far as like floaters go, right, I think that this actually encourages floating even more because now we're probably going to see nominations occur. And then once those three people are nominated, if you got a key at the nomination ceremony, you're good for the week and you know you're going to be there. And it really takes a lot of suspense out. And I think that it takes kind of like that unnerving feeling that we, you know, you would have between Saturday or was it Saturday? No, Friday and Monday.
Yeah, I can see that. I've got to agree there.
Okay. So.
And I feel like backdooring early on was an issue? Yeah, I think they kind of corrected it. Kind of with the chip draw, but I'm not willing to take it out that far. I mean, that's the twist every single year that, I mean, since Big Brother 12, someone suggests three nominees, veto must be used. And whenever they showed us the couch in 15, when they showed house pictures, that's what everyone thought it was going to be as well.
Okay. Yeah.
What about some sort of other opportunity for if you want have a guy who or a person or a woman who is a challenge beast that is concerned about being backdoored? Could we change the chip draw to some sort of that anybody can get into the veto if they want it? Because not necessarily everybody would want to play, right? Is that could we have like some sort of everybody would want to be in the veto?
No, I mean there were definitely rounds where I did not want my chip drawn and I would have rather not played.
So could we have something where there's some sort of like whoever is, you know, first to sign up or something like that? I don't know what the mechanism would be, but if I'm a challenge beast, I want to be in every veto because I never want to be backdoored. Is there a way that we could get the people who are the chat, like basically take away the thing where you could backdoor people who are really good in challenges? They have to at least lose the challenge.
So what about like and this is another twist on top of a twistception. What about like a veto, I don't know, sign up list where like it's not just six people that are limited to the competition. Anyone can volunteer to do it, but maybe like if you lose it, you become a have not or something like that.
It's the wildest summer ever on Big Brother. It's the veto sign up list.
It's like the DMV, like you have to have form D120F. Like
the summer
go to the back of the line.
Yeah.
The Big Brother bulletin board has all the news for you.
This list can't be missed.
Like, things I always want to improve about Big Brother are like GPS type tracking, like bracelets and such. You know, to where if you're watching the feeds, there's like a blueprint of the house. You can see who's where by what color dot they have, you know, because I think that's important to be able to tell who's where, so you know which cameras to watch and just, you know, who's shuffling around. But as far as like a sign up sheet wouldn't work, but if you have like like one of those Fitbits on and whoever took the most steps in the house got first and like it went in order of that. Because that way you'd be putting people in the veto competition that were hustling around the house, not people that were just laying around.
Interesting. So if I'm a
church movement.
Okay, yeah. So I'm a challenge person. I'm going to, you know, get the most steps. And so we're building that into the competition. Now, is that good TV? Is that good TV? People just like, you know, walking laps around the house.
If people have to be on the move for things, I mean, it's going to cause...
No, I like this. I like this.
Some type of issue, you know. I don't know. Okay. I can imagine.
So
if you're walking around just trying to get your steps in, so you can play. People will know you are, and there's all sorts of things like that. I mean, there'll be people just walking in circles. Who knows? Trying to get their steps up.
Okay. How about this?
Prevent somebody else's stuff.
That. So we're gonna have six people still in the veto. The HOH, the two nominees. I feel like maybe the HOH should get to pick one. If you're HOH, you get to pick one nominee, and then the two people with the most steps are going to be the other two people that are going to play in the veto competition. And then if you don't want to be in the veto competition, you got to slow it down. You got to stop.
Sure.
And then I could see, oh, I see that person feels like they're safe. They're not moving around. This person is scared. What are they up to? Because they're moving around the house so much. I like this idea.
Yeah. They would have been calling McCray and thinking his Fitbit was broken.
Like, boy, McCray feels really safe this week.
Yeah.
All right. Do you like the HOH being able to pick one of the three people? Should they still get that right, Spencer?
Pick one of the three people to play.
Yeah. Do they get to pick one, or you want Fitbit on all three?
I think that. I mean, no. I don't think they should get the straight pick. Maybe draw.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like being able to pick someone to play in the veto is as big of a decision as almost who's on the block to some extent. You know, if you can't pick the right person and have that ability too.
All right. So what are we ultimately have on the table right now?
So yeah, there's a lot of caveats going on with this right now. We have the three noms, but we also have this step rule, and also the HOH picks the person.
I think we're out on three noms. Are we ready to shoot down three noms?
Sure.
Let's go to recycle. Okay.
I mean, it's not the worst idea, but anyway, it's just whatever.
What about Fitbit priority seating, like a Southwest flight for the power of veto? You're out, Ian.
I'm out.
Ian, where are you at on that? Where are you at on that?
I just don't find it interesting, and I thought that the Fitbit thing last year was really stupid.
You know how much money they could be making from Fitbit?
It wasn't played correctly. Like, the information they're able to collect on there is just like all the other information they're able to collect on Big Brother, with all the psych exams they give everybody, all like the tests they give people. They underutilize the information they have. They should be having things in there that says, Ian Terry, highest IQ in the house, has been working with, blah, 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 blah. They could just go. And so, like, they've got more information than they share with the audience. And it's, I think things like that would improve the game. It's not a twist, but. Shit, man, they know so much about us and they never put that stuff out there. I think it's important to let people know who's actually who's got what it takes to play the game. I like things like that.
All right, Spencer.
Oh, that would be interesting if they did that.
All right, so yeah. Ian's out on the Fitbit, Spencer. It's just me and you now. Are you willing to put the Fitbit priority seating for the veto competition through?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yes, no problem. All right. I'm the swing vote. I say you're getting a key. Fitbit priority seating. Yes. Sorry, Ian. Ian.
Actually, as far as the chip draw goes, I have to say, I think it's very, very important that they still always, whenever they do the chip draw, have house guest choice chips in there. I think one of the things that I didn't like about MVP was, since you're only drawing for two chips, it was the HOH drawing all of them, so there weren't house guest choice ones in there, were there, Spencer?
Yeah.
It's just straight names, right?
Straight names, yeah.
Yeah, see, I think that takes a lot of the interesting things out of it, and I think that's probably why backdooring Jeremy was as easy as it was. Usually, that stage in the game, you've got four house guest choice chips in there,
yeah,
and chances are Caitlin, you know, might roll the dice, get him drawn in there to try to get him to win it and pull her down. So
yeah,
that's probably why it was as easy as it was. He usually is going to have a lot more chances to play there.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, what else you got?
All right, this is one from JB Piek, and I know Spencer was talking before about the jury being able to kind of look in on what's going on in the house. This is the way for the jury to communicate with people that are in the house. JB says, I think it would be interesting if there was some sort of ghost of house guest past twist that would allow an evicted house guest to communicate with the current HOH. The catch is that the HOH wouldn't know which evicted house guest they were talking to, and or the evicted house guest wouldn't know who won HOH. They could only communicate through yes or no questions. I don't know if this would be done via DR or possibly a BB phone for texting. So basically, it's you talk with an evicted house guest and you probably ask a certain amount of questions. You get yes or no responses back, and that may influence the way you do things.
All right. Ian or Spencer? Spencer, you're shaking your head.
No, I don't like that. It leaves open to people lying. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what order you're talking, like evictee you're talking to.
Okay.
Some people don't even know what to ask. I just think it would be kind of, you know, about 4TV, I think it would be kind of boring for TV.
What if instead of...
It's just like it's stuff they'll use, or they may not use information. They might be like, oh, that didn't help me at all or whatever. So then it just leads to nothing.
What if this information was provided via a Ouija board?
Ouija board would be cool. I'm for it then.
Would it have like a string on it that producers would be pulling? Yeah.
Some sort of Ouija board app, I think. On a...
Yeah.
Ian, any love for this?
It's a terrible idea. Terrible idea. To quote Office Space.
All right. Sorry. Going right to Alison Grodner's delete basket. Ghost of House Guest Pass. I'm sorry. Oh, you've been exercised. All right.
It'll become a new Matthew McConaughey movie before we know it.
All right.
There we go.
What's next, Mike?
All right. So this one is from Krish. My big Krish is Krish. Yes.
Okay.
That says my big twist is Big Brother Battle of the Sexes, and it works similar to the Survivor One World twist. This is because in my twist, men can only nominate men and women can only nominate women until jury. This is in an effort to stop any of those same-sex alliances that seem to occur very early on.
Well, that's hardly a battle of the sexes then, isn't it?
You win. Yes, yeah.
Your own sex. That doesn't work at all. Now, if it was men can only nominate women, I think that's actually fairly interesting and something that could be explored.
Yeah, because you want to create some sort of like solidarity between the group, or do you want the people to fight within the sex? Do you want the bros fighting with the bros and the women fighting with the women in the house? What would be better TV? I feel like it's the latter.
I'm confused here. That twist was supposed to eliminate the big all one gender alliance. If your man can only nominate women,
men need to nominate the men. Exactly. So as Krish put it, okay. Yes. So if the HOH is a guy, two men are going up, and the POV has to be a man.
It would be really hard to align because you'd have to align with the girls, but all the other guys would be wanting to align with the girls, and you'd have to be putting up two guys all the time. So like alliances would be really confusing there at the beginning as people tried to figure out exactly how to run for cover.
Showmance would be a big target.
Yeah. Well, what I was thinking, I actually like that men only nominate women, women HOH only nominates men. So basically it's kind of like Big Brother 11 with the cliques, except two teams, right?
Yeah. So I think we're talking about that the men nominate the men and the women nominate the women.
That way, like, as a man, like, you could align with a man, but, and you would have to nominate him, you could nominate somebody else, but there's a good chance if another guy that you're not aligned with gets HOH, he could put you up or one of your other male allies, because he has to nominate two guys.
Right, but, I mean, what is that at? I mean, what incentive is it? If you're going to have a battle of the sexes, then it doesn't matter. You would, if you're a guy, you would want a guy to win if it's a battle of the sexes.
See,
right?
For me,
honestly, I think the battle of the sexes, I think we eliminate that from it and just say that the twist or whatever is that this okay. is how the nominees have to be. I never liked things when you say somebody has to nominate this. But one thing I like about this a lot is I can see it creating a bunch of small alliances in the house, okay, and not big monster alliances. I want any kind of twist or anything that's going to bust up that first week scramble to get this monster alliance that Big Brother US does that I hate.
See, but I feel like that's one of my favorite parts of Big Brother. I feel like that's the best time of Big Brother. Like when Devin is running around the house putting together the bomb squad, I feel like that's the best part of the whole season, Spencer.
Yeah, but it's rarely the crazy Devin behavior with the bomb squad, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's fun and fine and dandy and everything. What that ultimately led to is a majority of the house that stuck together. You got out everybody else, and you knew what was going to happen. That's why people knew Derek was going to win so early. He's protected by this major alliance, covered up by huge egos like Beast Mode Cowboy and Frankie, and he could work undercover. It was easy as, I mean, not that it was easy.
Very straightforward shot, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It really was. It was just a sprint to the end.
There was 1 week in which someone from that group was not in power, and they duped her into wasting the HOH on Jocasta.
Yeah, but
yeah, I believe so. It's one of those major alliances. I mean, like, I do not like that. I want something to happen early on in the game that'll prevent that. And I don't know what that would be. Maybe this battle of the sexes twist you're talking about would help.
Yeah, I actually do think this is interesting. If they did something like that, or perhaps if there were like a good versus evil season where, you know, good can only nominate good or good can only nominate evil, something like that, where there's some sort of restrictions placed. I think that's even more important in a returning player season if that were to happen, because it would also kind of screw up any sort of preformed alliances. Where I think that's actually best spent on a season where it's 16 returning players.
Returning players, okay.
Because then that kind of forces the whole deck to be shuffled.
So you want heroes versus villains?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's like an idea for teams. Like if it's a battle of the sexes in a returning player season, it forces me to rethink an alliance where I came in there saying, okay, well, I want to align with this person, and this person. Okay, well, now they can't nominate me, so having an alliance with them is pretty much useless. So now it forces rethinking there, and that's where I think that's going to be of most value.
All right, Spencer.
Okay, it's hard to figure out how to divide it. Okay, what would y'all think about if you had had like a two house situation? Like this is like extreme twist, but you got people that are dividing them up almost like tribes, like the way Survivor does. Because I always say that there's always the what's harder, Big Brother Survivor type thing. But I think Survivor, one thing they have that Big Brother doesn't have are all the merges. Because you can be having a stellar game and go into a merge and be totally screwed. So what if the house guests were divided up like that? That way certain people weren't able to be nominated and thus would not need to align for any reason. You know what I'm saying? Up until like a merge situation.
So is it two houses or it's two tribes in the same house?
That's like a production thing. I don't know what would be best suited to tell the narrative.
I think you want everybody to intermingle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would or not. I mean, yeah, cross-house alliances would be cool, but I don't know. I mean, just as far as this think tank goes, I don't know if mixing them up would be better or worse for the twist. I think there'd be advantages, disadvantages to both.
Well, just to talk through this teams idea, I feel like if this was a new season, you could only do teams with men versus women because it's so hard when you come into the house and trying to figure out who everybody is. It would be impossible to figure out who was on what team unless everybody just wear like a uniform of... Ooh. of like red versus blue. But I do think that you could do, if it was a returning player season, you could divide the house, heroes versus villains, or in some other different, in some other different combination, Ian.
I mean, we have two launch nights this year. I mean, what's to stop production from saying group A, okay, you must bring a blue shirt, bring a blue shirt or blue clothes on the first night. You have to wear that on move in.
Sure, sure.
And for all competitions, wear blue. I mean, I don't really see what's so hard about that.
Make them
wear like a wristband or something like that. That's blue in one group.
Yeah.
That makes, right, there's, yeah, it's very easy.
The only thing about that is I always like for those things to be known to be random to where you don't have team stacked, but whatever.
And then have them pick teams.
All right. Sure. So this idea that started. Yeah, as what was this, Mike? Where did we start with this?
This was Survivor Battle of the Sexes.
Battle of the Sexes.
That term was used very loosely because they were really battling each other within the sexes.
All right,
but this
so,
has now become Survivor Two Houses, both alike and dignity.
What are we voting? Are we voting on a teams-based twist?
Well, I think we were pretty mixed on the Battle of the Sexes, so maybe we can vote for that one first and then move on to the teams one.
Well, I think that the teams thing is the Battle of the Sexes, and, yeah, and then the Battle of the Sexes now we're talking about how should we divide
now,
the house.
So now just the general idea of having two teams living in the same house?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we can vote on that.
Okay, what do you think, Ian?
All for it. 4 weeks ended after week four.
Okay. Spencer?
Same here.
I say put it through. I thought they were doing it last season because we saw those two. We saw like with the Battle of the Block and there was like going to be two different things. So
nomination screens.
Yes, let's do
launch
it.
Launch nights. And honestly, I would not be surprised if that's something we saw this year. Two launch nights. I don't know. Well, ratings. But
okay. Can we take credit for it if it happens?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sure.
Most definitely. All right. Two teams. We're in. What's next, Mike?
All right. This is from Matt Phillips, and it harkens back to season 6's Secret Partners and kind of a combination with season 13. Once the house guests are selected, and this is assuming all new players, production would pair them up. Whether the pairings are random or based on their personalities and how they would clash or get along isn't really important, but for the sake of the drama, Lada would probably be more appropriate. Before entering the house, each house guest would be told that they have a secret partner in the house. If they can get to the end with their secret partner, the prize money for first and second place are doubled. So this is basically the partner twist from BB6, but it's complete strangers and they have to figure out who their partners are.
That'd be nearly, I mean,
how would you know?
Figure your partners. Mm-hmm. I would like you to know.
I think this person's onto something. And actually, I'm going to call out the genius here. So if you've been watching that, this is going to be good. I think one of the most interesting games on that show was season 2 final 4 where they had the big deal game in which they had to partner up with one of those people from the pop group, but they didn't know who they were actually partnered with. I think that actually would add another layer where if they never explicitly tell who's partnered with who and you just kind of have to go off that assumption, you could try to dupe someone into keeping you, say you're on the block and say, you know that, you know, I'm your partner, maybe only half of them find out, or maybe some of them find out who's who. Like you win a challenge on the first day where only you know who your partner is. And then that kind of gives that person like a little bit of an advantage, but it's not super huge. So I'm all for this idea. Day one challenge, 8 people win it. They're assigned a partner randomly from the other 8, or they get to pick. And then otherwise, you can kind of use that as sort of like a hidden information.
Yeah.
Keep me in because I'm your partner, but maybe they're lying to you. Maybe they're not actually your partner.
Let me ask you guys a question. So if you're in the house, all right, and you find out at a certain point in the game that if you get to the end with this other person, instead of $500,000, you'd win $1,000,000. And maybe the second prize is instead of $50,000, you get $100,000. Would that change anything that you were doing? Or like, is the difference between $500,000 and $1,000,000 enough to make you change up your strategy, Spencer?
Yeah.
Okay. To an extent.
I mean, absolutely. I think so. I think that, I think knowing that I could win $1,000,000 would definitely make me try to, you know, kind of play things the direction that would help that. you know, further that mission.
But what if your partner was somebody that you felt like you couldn't beat? Like, let's say you found out that your partner was Judd, and you weren't planning on working with Judd, and you felt like, maybe I don't think I could beat him. Would you stay the course and go to the end with somebody that you felt like you could beat?
Okay, what you're asking, you're asking, yes, I could cut him and go for the less money, absolutely, if I thought it would help me. I thought you were asking me specifically if I would make an attempt to try to get the million.
Right, but would possible. You do something that maybe hurt your chances to win the game, to go for the bigger prize?
Depending on what was going on, Rob, absolutely. I'd go for the bigger thing, but I think the bigger question here is, would I go for less money if I felt like by cutting my partner, I'd have a better chance of moving forward in the game? Like, if my partner was somebody who I couldn't beat, who really I didn't like me, wasn't going to help me at all, I could make the sacrifice to, yes, cut them loose in order to go alone at less money with a better shot at less money. So, I think that's for sure. I would do that.
Yeah, I mean, it would really depend on what percent chance I thought I had sitting next to that person. I mean, if I multiplied the percent chance by the payout and one happened to be bigger than the other, that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that this would ultimately change too much in the game.
I don't know that it would, but I think that as far as the twist goes, I think that's just the brand of subtlety that's needed. And I'm actually all for if they do a challenge on the first night where 8 people win, the first 8 pick their partner out of the 8 that didn't or something like that. They know who their partner is. The other 8 don't. I think that there's potential for something interesting there where, hey, you know, I'm your partner. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're lying and you're voting your actual partner out. I think that it adds a layer of complexity that's going to be good for the game.
I feel like we're going to put a lot of like marketing power into promoting this of, hey, it's the secret partner season, but I don't know if we're really getting too much bang for our buck here, Spencer.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like secret partners, like what we're talking about here, and it was said on the front end, is a combination of the season 6 twist along with season 13 twist. Like, let's talk about things that like secret partners would be fine. It'd be fun, but it's been done. Like I want to throw this in the recycle bin quick and move on to an idea. I want to hear like new, fresh things that we haven't seen that aren't just combos and rip off of Survivor things.
Okay.
Yeah, recycle. My thing is this. Why does this season have to have? Yeah, I'm actually out on this too. But because it's already been done. But the question I have is, why does a season have to have a long-term twist or theme? It's a Big Brother season, not an 8-year-old's birthday cake.
Yeah. I also want to change. I want to pitch you guys on this idea. I feel like instead of the Big Brother think tank, I feel like this should be the Big Brother Shark Tank. And I feel like that we should have to, instead of, what do you think of that idea?
I like that.
Motion to change this to Big Brother Shark Tank.
I mean, we have the water theme already, right? For Big Brother, we might as well add a shark in there.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Sure. Ian, are you in on Big Brother Shark Tank?
A terrible idea.
Oh, he's been argumentative.
Ian is out. Ian is out on Shark Tank. All right.
No, we do the dog twist, and then the losing dog that's evicted is thrown into the Shark Tank.
All right. How about this? That people who are watching the show live are also submitting their ideas. Let's take one from the audience right now. Okay. This is from Bootless Crow, who says, we need more Pandora's box. Who else agrees? All in favor of more Pandora's box. Are you in?
I'm in.
Did we have one last summer?
Not the past 2 summers.
No,
but
Spencer's deprived of one.
They don't have it. But if you actually think about it, with Big Brother 15, they just removed the, how should I put this? The mechanism in which the Pandora's box-esque stuff was added into the game. For instance, Spencer just went to the diary room and was told he had to distribute, what was it, like friendship, wealth, and health or something
health,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was just told that. Usually that would be like a Pandora's box type situation, but they just took that whole charade out and they just said, hey, you're doing this.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, and I know that it definitely opens the door for then some production interference, and then people are going to complain about that as well. So I like it, but I feel like it's not a make or break Pandora's box. All right, let's do one more from the audience. From Havish, our good friend who reports on the Big Brother Canada live feeds. It says Heroes versus Villains would be awesome. So Havish is in on Heroes versus Villains.
All right.
Okay. All right, Mike. Back to you.
All right. Let's keep on the thread of live feed correspondence here. Let's go to a great friend of the podcast, Alex Kidwell. He has an idea for a new power of veto called the Titanium Power of Veto. So he says, hide it in a secret compartment within a secret room right from the start of the game for the diligent to find, which is sort of what we were talking about before in the beginning of this podcast. Make it playable for multiple weeks, somewhere between 2 and 4. You would use it at the veto ceremony, just like a golden power of veto. However, instead of the HOH choosing a replacement, a house guest besides the HOH and POV user is selected at random, roulette style, and displayed on screen. Ooh. The house guest chosen is the one who then chooses the replacement nominee.
Okay, well, once I hear this random selection thing placing on a screen, all of a sudden my mind comes to conspiracy theory, conspiracy.
Exactly. It would need to be random draw.
Just got picked. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure. But I think they're onto something with this. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'll say that.
No, I don't either. I like more vetoes. Anytime that you have another type of veto, I like it. That's why I like how Camden does some of their veto stuff. But no, I like the idea. I would like a wheel. You remember like in Big Brother 6, they had the wheel you could spin to see who played in the veto, I think. Is that how that was done?
Seven. No. Big Brother 7, yeah.
Was that the 7th they did that? Okay. That's how it should be done, because if you drew chips out of a bag, everybody would be like, oh, it was a stack of chips. They all had that same name on it. So I would want something like, you know, like the wheel to spin. But yeah, I can get on board with this. I wish that there's a veto, like you can win it or find it, that you can't play on yourself. You have to play on somebody else.
It's like a silver power like veto?
Yeah, like anything, absolutely. Yeah, like anything.
Big Brother 3 power of veto?
Yeah, anything you can do with a veto, yeah.
I think that's actually kind of interesting. I'm all for this hidden veto thing. I know it's been done on Big Brother Canada. I think it was interesting on there, and I'm in pro.
So what are we voting on?
Of some kind.
A hidden veto in the house?
Hidden titanium veto. I'll say, I'm not crazy about the whole thing, but I'm for it.
Are we taking out the whole spinning the wheel and replacement nominee roulette and all that other part of it? Or are we just talking about a hidden veto?
A hidden veto with unknown powers as far as what we're voting on, yes.
Okay.
Because you kind of get murky, you kind of get off in the weeds a little bit when you start talking about how the replacement nominee is going to get made for our purposes here. But I definitely think more vetoes with different powers are definitely needed to breathe a little air, much needed life into Big Brother.
Yeah, I really want to see definitely vetoes of different types of metal, perhaps a bronze or a copper or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps like go down the
periodic table.
Like,
you know,
tungsten veto.
The tungsten power of veto.
It has a very high melting point.
It does. So that'll be a really powerful one.
But so we're back to just hiding vetoes in the house, like the hidden immunity idol. Didn't we say that was going to be a bad idea?
No, I don't think so.
It was going to be bad TV. People just going to be ripping the house apart nonstop.
Yeah, but you don't tell them. That's the key. I think that I don't like the idea of, hey guys, veto's somewhere in the house. Yeah, then it gets destroyed. I like, you know, Big Brother 6, you have a compass sitting on the table. Oh, I picked the compass up and there's a little piece of paper here. Oh, the little piece of paper says something. Now one person is on a treasure hunt. I think that's interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, Rachel's treasure hunt. Yeah, that was mm-hmm. perfect in Big Brother 6. I totally agree.
Okay, so we're going to have some sort of a treasure hunt for a different power of veto that could have different powers. We like this?
Like it, love
okay.
it.
Okay, you can go
all
through.
For it.
Again, that's not a season saver or anything like that, but just an interesting thing.
Can I throw out something?
Yes.
I know this isn't my time to just talk about ideas ahead, but I was in preparation for this, Rob.
Good.
I was thinking all day about twists, all right?
Love it.
And even though Ian has single-handedly shot down two of my ideas now, I'm going to go ahead and throw this one out, all right? See if this will change the meta game enough that Ian will like it, all right? And also make good TV. All right, when the house guests enter the house, there could be like a basket up front where they draw out some type of like envelope, okay? And they go in with it. They find out they can't open it. They go in the diary room and they find out that inside this envelope is either something good or it's something bad. You can choose to open it whenever. Okay. And you could open it up. It could be the type of veto you're looking for. You could open it up, say instant eviction, go to the diary room, and you're expelled. You could use it or not use it. So if it was a good thing, you might never use it. It could be a good thing that was never used, or it could be a bad thing. But you're like, this dude is kicking ass. I hope he doesn't get in a bad spot and use open his letter thinking it's going to help him. I mean, things like that would be, I think things like that would be very, very cool, because it would kind of change the psychology of how you play, because you're like, I have this in my pocket. Do I open it now, or do I wait to a week where I'm really, really in trouble? You know, things like that.
Okay, I want to call this twist community chest.
Okay. Okay, I like that.
All right. But what if we get a player who's like a really popular player? Let's say our most popular house guests in the house, and they open up their manila envelope and just go directly to the diary room, you've been evicted. Wouldn't like people burn the CBS to the ground?
Well, you know, I mean, like, they know that going in. So like people would know how serious opening up this envelope was. And people, you know, if they did it and they were a popular player, then I mean, like that sucks. But I mean, like, that'd just be part of it. It's like, sorry, you knew you either play it or not play it, and you chose to play it, and you're dumb. You have to leave.
See, I feel like we got to take that part off the table, because it can be something bad, or like you're nominated this week. But I feel like if we took, like, we could potentially like ruin a week of the TV show where somebody is on the block, and then the night before eviction, they open the envelope and says, you're evicted. And now it's like, all right, well, this week in the Big Brother house, Spencer and Ian were nominated, but Spencer opened his envelope last night and he's gone. He's been instant evicted.
There's a lot of backfire potential here.
Go ahead.
I think there's room for it, but I think that an instant eviction, maybe a little bit harsh. Maybe don't play for veto this week. Brother producers like wear a reindeer costume for a week.
Yeah,
or, you know, mm-hmm. stupid.
Well, yeah, sure. And like, it could definitely be something like that. But like I said, it could be a veto, or it could be something a little bit more serious where it pushed somebody out of the house.
Yeah, I feel like instant nomination is probably the worst it could be. It should be.
Okay, fair enough. But I mean, like that. What do you think? Now that that's on the table, we've taken out the big bomb to drop as far as instant eviction, but there are still negative things in there. Is that a good twist? Is that something y'all would like to see? Because it would stagger it out, and you wouldn't know when it was going to happen week to week.
Yeah, so. I think you'd also open the door for some sort of like production influence where you have this envelope in your bag this summer. What's the stop when the guy comes into vacuum that you're on the block, you're the most popular player in the game, Spencer, and your envelope never gets happened. Switched out for
you should probably open
power
your envelope.
Power veto.
Well, I'm sure that they will have in a house filled with like what 78 cameras. I'm sure they'll be able to make sure that nobody switches this.
Yeah, but you're on outside lockdown, and when nobody ever sees what happens in the house.
Oh yeah, that is true. That is true. I mean. Well, I mean, we can't totally plan around the conspiracy theorists what would happen. Maybe if they were numbered, if there's something like that, even though they could whip something up in a heartbeat to go in there and pull a shenanigan, it certainly could happen. But I mean, you just have to hope not.
Okay, what do you think, Ian?
I think
are
it's
you saying our house production is not does not have any integrity?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, sorry, Ian, to cut you off. I just wanted to clear the air about that.
I'm just telling you, I know what people will say. I know there's going to be people on Twitter, you know, tweeting all night like they put the envelope that Spencer grabbed was frozen. He knew to grab the cold envelope, and that's how he got the veto.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. I can definitely see that.
I'm going to say it's not a bad idea. I think that it has kinks that need to be worked out, which I'm not sure what the solutions would be, but I'm not as against this as some of the ideas we heard tonight. I just feel like we
hold on. So you're not as against this as the dog dog part.
I have this one ranked slightly higher than the dog. I have this one higher than the dog one.
Dog Island,
slightly higher than dog on dog or dog versus dog or whatever it was.
Big Brother Doghouse,
Pop Dog. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so you Ian, you're in on community chest.
I am like, on it, sort of ish.
Yeah.
What do you want to see, Ian?
I have a couple ideas. I have one idea.
Let's see what you've got.
Let's close the door on this. Are we putting it through? Yes or no?
Yes.
Spencer says yes.
As it stands, no, but if kinks worked out, I could be sold on it. So I'll give it like plausible. Yes.
I'm going to say I'm out on it as a season twist, but I feel like there could be a week where everybody gets an envelope and as a 1 week like twist, and let's put all of the envelopes out on the table. Everybody take one. Well, somebody has the veto. Somebody's going to get instantly nominated. You don't have to open your envelope if you don't want to, but you can.
I got you. I like it.
Yeah, that worked. All right,
let's do one week.
So it gets its key.
Okay. All right. It's going to, you get a key. You get a key. All right. Ian, you were going to pitch us on a new idea.
Yeah. I think, one thing I'd like to see is, been playing a card game lately, No Thanks. And I think, that was really interesting. So I think if you took maybe 1 week, they say, all right, here's the twist. Veto is this $50,000 from the prize fund taken out, redistributed so that all six players have like in $500 increments. They play this game. It was done on the Genius, No Thanks, where there's like cards dealt with numbers on them. And the idea is you want to have as low a score as possible. And if it's your turn, like a number cycles through people, if you want it, you take it and that number gets added to your total. If you don't want it, you have to like put your $500 chip in the center and that's gone from the prize fund. And I think that would be interesting because I think that game would make people, certain people would probably be like willing to just throw in for the, you know, the prize fund money right away because they're on the block, you know, hey, you're not going to get anything if you get voted out this week. But I think that on the other hand, you know, some people would be conservative, but it might blow up in their face. Cause then, oh, why didn't you put that in? Well, the nominee got it now. So now I'm going to put you up. Also, I feel like you could also make it so that you could get additional chips by taking punishment. So it gives it that stupid Big Brother flavor.
Gotcha.
Is this like the power veto competition?
Yeah, yeah. This is like, you know, it's like so, you can get 10 extra chips if you put yourself on slop for the week. You can get 20 extra chips if you wear a shark costume for a week. Kind of gives it that flavor that it likes. It's kind of like a smart game with kind of like that, you know, like that sort of like Big Brother, very Nickelodeon type vibe that they sort of have going on with some of these veto comps.
Dude, I can totally get on board with any veto competition like that, like where there's more thinking involved, where there's strategy. Absolutely. I'm for that. And I like that it's not like a 3 week twist. It's not like a season twist. Like what Rob's been saying, it's just, it's not really necessarily even a twist. It's just something that will, it'll affect the purse, if I'm understanding correctly, from the end of the game. It'll also kind of set some people up. It's a veto that's not just watching people throw balls at an on-off button on a TV on a couch spinning around. You know what I'm saying? So it's like there's a lot more to it. I like that.
Sure. I mean, I like it as a comp. I just feel like that the prize isn't that great to begin with, and we're already taking money away from it. Like, I got annoyed on Big Brother Canada this season where we were taking, what, like $10,000 out of the $100,000 prize, and potentially somebody was going to walk away with it. I just feel like, why do we have to touch the prize money?
Well, honestly, you're absolutely right. The prize money, now that it's 97 days and it's 15 years after we decided $500,000 was the fair amount. I think that now that it's longer, it probably should be upped, but I don't see that realistically happening.
Yeah. In year $2,000, I mean, what is that like? $350,000?
I'll pull up the inflation calculator now. I mean,
it's got to be under four.
Let's see here. In 2000, $500,000 has the same buying power as $686,989 in 2015.
So do it the other way. Do it. What was $500,000 in now? What was that in?
$500,000 in 2015 has the same buying power as $360,000 in 2000.
Oh man.
Wow. So the person that made the most money from Big Brother is one-legged Eddie.
I mean, that's the oldest it was. Money had the most value back then.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It's actually interesting. The game has gotten longer. It's probably more difficult to win now, and the prize is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously 500,000 is definitely nothing to sneeze at, but it is interesting. They probably should.
Yeah.
So if you would have won one of the early seasons of Big Brother, Ian, you would have been set.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, when you were like, what, 10?
I'm not complaining. Yeah,
All right.
I totally agree. So enough money. I saw a chick win like $68,000 from Wheel of Fortune like a couple days ago for like 30, 45 minutes worth of work. You know, you're spending 97 days in the house for $500,000 and you're making the company a ton of money. They could spread the wealth a little bit more.
Yeah. Actually.
I would even like to see third place get a little coin thrown their way.
Yeah. But it's just the kind of thing that it doesn't make one more extra person watch the show. So it's like, it's a nice thing to do for the people that play, and maybe you could attract more people to the game if you up the prize money. But I don't think that it's anything that people aren't like, I wasn't going to watch it, but it's $1 million. Okay. I'll watch Big Brother now.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Well, you know what, Rob, what do you think about this? Okay. This is my biggest complaint with Big Brother. Okay. Is that I think it's one of the most challenging, social chess game on the planet. It's a brilliant game, but the way that it has to be played is through this and displayed to the public through this vehicle of reality TV, which has a stigma attached to it. What if, since this is just a think tank, what if Big Brother decided they were going to go smarter and deliver a smarter product to the audience and try to take a little bit of that that bullshit realities TV stuff away from it and go look at it as more of like a sport, like a social sport, where people would take it more seriously. And by doing so, you'd want to up the ante to give it $1 million prize.
So, but what are we doing differently? Are we're not televising it?
Oh, no.
You can still televise it, but just we don't need all the flashy colors. We don't need to look like a cartoon necessarily.
We don't need people in dog costumes.
Thing. Yeah. It's a production thing.
Let me put it this way. Why is the smartest game on American television, like, why is it set up?
Ian, we're not talking about The Genius anymore.
We aren't. We're saying on American television, oh, okay. The smartest game on American television is delivered on a tray in which, I mean, contestants are running around getting slimed. You know, and
because
and the costumes,
but it's yeah,
Double Dare 2000, Rob. Why? Why is the smartest?
Well, that's an easy question to answer because we're trying that. We're not in the business of, you know,
we want it to be the juxtaposition of the fact they're playing for this huge life changing prize, but it's also so it's a serious game, and yes, it's silly. I understand that, but it always just confuses me as to why that's the case. And I think that the One Story House seasons, Rob, they had it right. The tone was perfect. The tone of the One Story House seasons was great, and it was still pretty good up through like 10, and then it just kind of 11 is when it just got really weird. Really, really weird, Rob.
I know it got weird, and I'm not sure if any of the things that we're talking about, that like sliming people, are bringing more people in to watch the shows. I don't know.
Well, I don't think it is, but I think, let me put it, this first time I ever saw a Big Brother ad not on CBS, it was on, I think my younger brother was watching Nickelodeon, and it was for Big Brother 11, and they had like slime splattering on the screen, and like a slime ball gets thrown, and it's like splats, and it's like Big Brother 11. Like that's
weird.
Spencer, yeah, it was
All right. Well, yeah. Hypothetically, let's say we had a season which was like just outstanding gameplay. Ian, what's the best gameplay season of Big Brother? Big Brother 14?
7.
Okay. Big Brother 7. Was that a ratings winner? Like, what's making people watch Big Brother?
I think that was the best show. It's higher rated than the ones now, right? I mean, let me pull it up on Wikipedia, but yeah. I imagine that, but then again, you have to say, well, of course it was because back reality was in vogue, but
it's just like, ratings. If we're going to, what do people want to see? And what is our main audience? Are we trying to satiate cat ladies? Are we trying to bring more people into the tent? Whoa. Is it
okay, Big Brother 7 had an average of 8 million viewers? Big Brother 16 typical averages seems to be around 6.
Okay, so and asterisks that because I've got to totally believe that there's an Ariana Grande effect with that. I think that they did pull in a portion of audience for Frankie due to that, and we could see a decline since he's obviously not going to be playing this year.
Oh, but you're so mistaken, Spencer, because we are going to get, make no mistake that, you know, Justin Bieber's neighbor is going to be on this season. There will be a new.
Yeah, who's going to be? I tell you what, I think that
there will be somebody.
If Robin Cass was able to get Caitlyn Jenner's
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, even better.
Big brother.
Yep, there you go.
Wow. Oh, if there is a transgender Big Brother fan, go hit up Robin Cass on Twitter right now. You have an outstanding shot to be on Big Brother.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You must be reading my Twitter, Rob. I tweeted
and
that.
Boy, and
it is transgender season for TV.
It's for sure. Here's the thing. It's a transgender person is in the house, and it's also the Battle of the Sexes twist. And now, figure it out.
Oh, gosh. Boom. Oh, I like it.
God. Big Brother canceled after 2 weeks.
I think we've gone into territory.
Ratings winner.
This is starting to sound like a BB15 territory.
So. Okay. All right. We'll get out.
This is making me uncomfortable.
Okay. But it's an interesting question of what do we need more of to bring more eyeballs to Big Brother? Is it, because I could tell you that CBS probably does not feel like, boy, we need more outstanding gameplay. That's what's going to increase. We need more ejaculating phalluses in the backyard with shaving cream and bikinis and beach balls and all sorts of stuff. Like, well, I feel like that's, we need more of that, I think, is what the answer probably is.
See, I don't think this is six cells or goofy cartoon character type house guest cell. Honestly, if you can make my dad like it, you're going to gain a huge amount of people. Because if you can get somebody to get past that, like, my dad still feels like I was on like the Bozo show. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. he still does not get it. So if you can present it in a way that can make him not only understand it, That's why.
See, but we don't know your dad. What is it? Your dad wants more strategy, or your dad wants more hijinks?
My dad would want more strategy. He'd want to see it like as a like almost like war games. He does, and that's what, you know, Big Brother is in a way, just as Survivor is in a way. Like, see it for the cerebral challenge it is, not that these people wearing tutus are trying to dodge water balloons filled with paint.
But the,
you know what I'm saying?
But the problem is. Yeah, the problem is
I strongly agree. I do not see why we have to have somebody every other week wearing a llama costume, Rob. I really don't get it.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys just have to live in the reality of that. We're, you know, this is a show that is a product that we're trying to get 8-year-olds to watch the show. We're trying to get 70-year-olds to watch the show. It's on 8 o'clock at night, 3 nights in the week on a major TV network. And we're going to throw a lot of stuff at the wall. And once in a while, if we get a big blindside, and that's great drama, fantastic. But that's probably going to take a back seat to hijinks a lot of nights.
Yeah, I think they want moments. That's basically what they want at the end of the day, whether that be funny moments or big strategy moments. I mean, I know you were in the house, Ian, but Dan's funeral made public paper headlines for a number of years.
But Dan's funeral is a great example of like that. It's like that's totally on one side of the ledger, and it's like it's great if you could get Dan Gieseling doing that sort of stuff. But I just don't. You're not going to be guaranteed of that stuff, and I feel like sliming people is something that you can guarantee is going to happen.
Steve, why do you want to watch that, Rob? It's like
just sell the show to Nickelodeon, Rob. Just sell it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sell the Big Brother audience is such a bunch of foamers that they're gonna watch whatever. So if you're bringing it to them, and then you can bring in a new audience. I mean, like right now, I mean, like, okay, if I was looking for a TV show to get into in my aunt watched Big Brother, I probably wouldn't listen to her. But like, if my dad and brother watched, like, if it reached a wider audience, that people that I found that I trusted their taste more watched and enjoyed it and found something, they really got something out of it, which I believe would be the strategy and that kind of thing, I definitely think that I'd tune in if I was a non-viewer, you know? And I think that making it smarter, presenting more information, taking the campiness out of it would absolutely improve it. I've been saying for a while now that Big Brother needs to, I wish that Netflix would do their own Big Brother.
Yeah.
So that you could have stuff like this, because Rob, what you're saying is true. CBS is not going to take the camp away. They're going to look for, we need bikini girls to show on the commercials to draw that crowd in. We need somebody with a multicolored hair to show a flash of them, so it looks like there's somebody funky and wild on there. And then you've got to have the the redneck
muscle guy,
handsome guy, and the muscle guy. Yeah, you always have to have the flex in backyards.
Whoa! Thing.
So you know, it's just was that a little too much for y'all? Sorry about that.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying. It's just, and that goes back to my original point of the greatest game on earth is delivered to the vehicle of bikini babes. Water balloons, tutus, and multicolored hair, and it's a lot more than that. And I wish it was put out there on Front Street a lot better.
Okay, well,
I'm actually all for the bikini babes.
Yes,
I agree. I'm not saying I'm against bikini babes. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah,
actually, I have the twist. Here's my twist.
Oh, we have a twist.
Yes,
I have a twist. Let's get it back on topic.
Here's let's go back.
This is a think tank. We're thinking.
We're thinking, and unfortunately, if there was some cable network that wanted to take a shot on a cerebral show that was similar to Big Brother, but without the hijinks, I think it could potentially do very well. And that's why I think you're seeing smart guys like Ian Terry talk about other things like The Genius and stuff like that, which has all sorts of this smart game strategy stuff without some of the nonsense. But I feel like Big Brother is what it is, better or for worse. And I think we just have to take the good with the bad and accept the fact that the stuff that a lot of people who are listening to this don't like is probably the same stuff that's keeping Big Brother on the air, because a lot of people are lowest common denominator that are tuning in to the 6 million, 7 million people. There's a couple million of those people that are tuning in to see the nonsense.
Yeah.
All right, Ian, back to you.
15 bikini babes, one returning player. That returning player is me. I'm HOH automatically the first week, and I have 6 immunity passes.
Mike. Mike, back. What? Give us an idea.
Would you play Hidden Veto in the underwear?
Mike Bloom, back to you.
Oh, boy. All right. So this is actually a little bit of a play on what we were talking about, what ended up being a while back, about this whole taking money from the prize stuff. This is a bit of a play on something that Michael Grootsmacher talked about. Just sort of a play off on what he was mentioning. But the idea of having everyone has a stock of in-game cash that they start off with. And basically, they can use that cash however they want, whether they can barter it for votes or they can use it to, you know, basically bribe people for nominations, or we can even have competitions like Ian talked about earlier, where they can say like, okay, you to get a better chance at an advantage in this competition, you have to pay X amount of money. And they, you know, there was some talk in the chat before about like sort of using the veto instead of the whole sign up thing, sort of like a fantasy draft and having people bid on getting to compete in the veto. So I guess the twist up is just the general idea of everyone starts off with like stock in game cash and they're able to use it however they want.
I think all this is kind of interesting.
Sign me up. I am all for that a million times over. I think absolutely. That is excellent. Yes. Right. How about this? Survive the block, get BB currency.
You want to pass go and get money? Coin. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I am all for this. Win HOH, get 2 coins. Survive nomination, get 3 coins. Yes. A million times yes, over and over again. Please.
All right, Mike Bloom, for the sake of this, let's call this Big Brother Pirate Master. Okay.
Now, I love that.
You get voted out. What happens to your money?
It goes to the person that survived nomination.
Like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna endorse that with Ian.
All right. So it's Big Brother Pirate Master. You survive the block, you get money. I feel like at some point the people that are
So now would this go to like something like a Survivor auction type thing? It'd be like a Big Brother auction where you could buy items. Is that what do I understand that correctly?
That could happen. I wonder if we could have it a big event like that, or like I talked about before, maybe there's a bunch of smaller competitions where it's like, okay, You get two more balls in this veto competition if you make a if you donate a thousand if you give $1,000 to it out of your fund.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can have the auction with mystery prizes, and then someone can have to wear a donut costume for a week, so it gives producers that thing that they love.
How zany! Oh, so wild.
So are people like just in the house with like $35,000 worth of cash to start?
Well, Big Brother bucks. I can have Julie Chen's face on it.
Big Brother bucks.
I like that.
So
I like
if you that. Vote for me actually, this week, I'll give you 8,000 Big Brother bucks.
Yeah.
Yes.
In God we trust.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Is that a different show, though?
I mean, is Big Brother with Battle of the Block a different show? Is Big Brother with Coaches a different show? Probably. Yes.
I just feel like I love this idea and I would watch this show. I just am wondering if this isn't Big Brother anymore.
Battle of the Block, it's not Big Brother anymore.
I think the only problem
Survivor's
with it is...
Survivor's not Survivor with Redemption Island. It's the challenge.
My only problem is with it is that since, as Rob mentioned earlier, they do try to pander to the lowest common denominator, I think it'd be a little confusing for some of the audience. But I do like it. I do love the idea.
Yeah. It would be fun. It would be fun. And I wonder maybe if you can, instead of like, you know, I have 35,000 Big Brother bucks, like maybe does everybody have a token and that token is an extra $50,000 if you get to the end and you could trade your token to somebody during the game and say, hey, I need your vote this week. Keep me off the block. You can have my $50,000 token.
It's interesting because instead of the old give me your wedding ring type thing, you can give somebody an actual currency.
But everybody only has one. How about?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, someone in the chat pointed out, yeah, didn't they do that with the gold bars in Big Brother 10? And yes, they did. Sad thing was $2,000 isn't going to swing an eviction vote in a game for $500,000.
No, yeah. Not at all.
And at all. If you're on the block, you know, when you leave the house, you have to give your $50,000 thing to somebody. How about that? Instead of the black
like,
vote,
like a last will and testament.
Yes, it's like you gotta when you walk out the door, you give it to one of your friends, and it's like, hey, that person is at a target now. That person's got like
The person with the money becomes there's the bounty on them. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that power person is kind of like a power broker too. Like, and you want to put that person on the block because if you get them out also.
Yeah. I mean, it adds to a twist. The thing that you did bring up is, would this get people to watch the show? I don't know, but does Battle of the Block, I mean, are people tuning in like, oh man, I really want to see how that Battle of the Block turns out. Probably not.
No, dude, the reason they want to watch Big Brother is it's confusing. There's nothing in the world harder than trying to explain Big Brother to somebody that doesn't watch it. And I'm talking about basic Big Brother. I'm talking about BB6. The reason BB6 was so successful in building the audience is because it was simple. The house was divided into basically two groups, with the exception of James and Sarah, who kind of were in the middle a little bit for a little small period of time. Okay, that's because it was simple. People watched it, enjoyed it, loved the personalities. It could follow into All Stars, which was amazing. Followed the Evil Dick season, which is what got this huge block of Big Brother fans as rabid as they are. I truly believe. And when you add things like Battle of the Block and even this currency thing, though I like it as somebody who fully understands the rules of the game of Big Brother or, you know, the rules as they're presented to us, I do feel like it will complicate things and make the show harder to gain audience. I don't think it'll lose audience. It'll just give people something to gripe about or to like. But I think it'll be hard to get new viewers with something like that.
You don't think it would be exciting to see people making like a trade in $50,000 left and right?
No, I think in some ways it would be cool, absolutely. But like I said, if I'm somebody that's never watched Big Brother before and I'm watching them do that, you have the power veto, you have renoms, you have the two nominations, you have the HOH, it's on three times a week. It's a live show. And then you got them trading currency, like almost like gambling style. Yeah. It could be too much for a new viewer.
But I'm keeping it simple. Everybody's only got one chip. You've only got one.
You just got one.
You come into the house and I got my 50K chip and I could do whatever I want. If I'm on the block, I could say, look, I'll give you my 50K chip. If you save me this week, you're my one person. I need you. And then they say, okay, well, give it to me now. Like, well, you got to vote for me first. And what if somebody takes the 50K chip and then they don't vote for them? That could be exciting.
Or if someone goes to four different people and says, I'm going to give you my chip if you keep me, and that guarantees them four votes and they stay in the house.
Well, like the 50K chip, if it's just one chip to play, it'd be played one time. If it's currency that can be played at different times, I'm not sure that would be good, but okay.
Just maybe one chip. You get one, you come into the house with one 50K chip.
I don't think it would be, I don't think it would be as confusing to the audience. However, I don't think that for the sake of a badass season of Big Brother, since you are limited on the amount of twists that they throw in there, unless you're BB Can 3, I wouldn't want them to waste a twist on this 50K chip twist.
Okay. I think it'd be exciting. So, Ian, what do you think?
I'm all for it. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I think that's the kind of thing, I think that's the direction that we need to go in as far as twists. So I would be for this.
Okay. We got more. Yeah, but it's going to bring in, like, we got a lot of money changing hands. I think it'd be exciting. All right, so it's going.
It's not a power shift twist. You know, it's just a, hey, keep me in. It's just a broker and a deal twist. And, you know, I agree with Ian as far as that's the type of twist that we need to have, not things that are going to totally tank somebody's game necessarily.
Okay, all right, so it's going, through, Mike.
A great idea is how about we take 16 people, we put them in the house, we lock the door, and then we just let it go. And then we play the game as it was in 2004.
Okay. Well, can I add to that? Because I have an idea for a twist.
Yeah.
And I call this the no twist twist, where, okay, yeah. It's what Ian is saying, but we tell the people in the house that somebody has a big special power, but nobody actually does.
Okay.
What do you think?
I like that.
I think that's actually kind of fun.
There'll be so many people sacrificed to the fear of the twist.
Yep.
People, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about Amanda. She would have had, like, Howard would have had it, Judd would have had it, I would have had it at one point in time. Anybody would have had it to have an excuse to vote somebody
else. It's a little like the saboteur, but with no saboteur.
Yeah, it is. No, I think that'd be fine. Anything that's going to make the mental game that much tougher it works for me. Anything that increases paranoia. I wish they could do time manipulation in there because they control what daylight you see and things like that. I wish that they would do different things like that. So I'm absolutely for it.
I think that's fun.
The no twist twist.
Yep. The just paranoia.
Paranoia will destroy you. All right, that's going through. You're getting a key.
Awesome.
All right, Mike, what do you got? We're on fire now. What do you got?
So this is a smaller one, not necessarily a strategic twist, but this is interesting. It's from Dave Becker, who says, get rid of slop and the have-not system and institute tasks to earn shopping budgets similar to BB UK. There's still plenty of drama and it's more fun for house guests and viewers. And I guess this sort of ties back a little bit to the Big Brother Canada stuff as well. But these tasks will not just win, you know, margarita parties. Instead, they'll get rid of the whole have-not thing and give them shopping budgets like they do on BB UK. And these tasks that they perform will help put money or, you know, have them choose certain things on that shopping list for the week.
See, I think the have-not stuff is problematic. And I think that in some ways, I think that's what Battle of the Block was designed to. Because I think that Big Brother probably realized that there's a lot of people like me who could not care less about the have-not competitions. They said, okay, we need a competition for Sunday night. Well, why don't we make a competition to end the Sunday night show that's more interesting than have not? And that's where Battle of the Block was born. So what do we think about this to have some different activity that's determining what is this for? Not for food budget, but for what, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's for and correct me if I'm wrong. Ian, I think you watch BB UK, right? So correct me if I'm wrong.
A little bit. I've dabbled in it.
But I believe they do have like a shopping budget for the week, which allows them to buy groceries.
That's
and I
correct.
Think this would be like going towards that. So there's never slop or anything, but their diets are determined by how much they have in the bank for that every week.
I don't know. I could care less what they eat, but it will go. Yeah, go yeah. Ian.
Well, to be honest, I think where that's going to get interesting is I also agree, Rob, I could care less what they're eating. I could care who's sleeping on an ice cube. I don't care. But what I do think is interesting is if I liked in Big Brother 3, 4, they had those challenges where they kind of had to choose what they were going to get. Like there was one where they had like drop pieces into this giant glass thing. And if any of them stuck out, the game ended and that's it. They only got what they were able to fit in this board. And then you had, you know, Josh saying, I don't think we should have put in a piece for snacks and sweets because I think that's a total waste. But then you might have someone else who's like, okay, if I'm choosing between beer or hot water, I'm going to choose beer. And then you piss off the people that want hot water. And then it causes fights, drama. Well, that's interesting.
That is interesting. That is interesting.
Someone wins, someone loses, someone sleeps on an ice cube.
All right. So are you guys saying that what we would rather see is the house versus Big Brother more than the house versus the house in these competitions, where some people are going to be have, some people are going to be have not, as opposed to somebody could blow it for the entire house?
Well, can we talk about that real quick? The some people, the haves and have nots. What if you changed it to where instead of like the eating and all that kind of stuff, you make that a part of it, but make it more interesting to the audience? Because, yeah, like, we don't care who's sleeping where, who's what necessarily, but still, like, maybe a have-not. What if you have, like, a can-not? And, like, if you were a can-not, you cannot talk after 10 p.m., or you have to be in bed by, you cannot stay up past, you have a curfew, you know? And there's different things that if you were a can-not, there'd only be maybe two or three of them a week that their game was limited because of this. So you could make it a competition. People really care who won it and who lost it. You know, it could be a very serious comp.
I actually really like that. I think one of the more interesting mystery box punishment prizes that they had in all recency was your megaphone and Helen's curfew. I thought that those were absolutely by far the best. I'll take that over a person wearing a peacock costume any day of the week.
Thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So what are we putting through?
So I guess we're putting through now.
That was kind of two different things. Sorry.
Yeah. So it seems like we still have this whole like shopping task segment that we're voting on, and now we're also going to be voting on the cannot portion as well.
This is my thing about the shopping task. As a Sunday viewer, I don't want to tune in and watch the majority of my favorite show talk about, you know, how they're going to spend their cash. I don't know. I just think that as far as like TV time, that would eat up. I think that would be for something that I ultimately don't care about and that I already know about because I watch the feeds. I'm not really a huge fan of that.
See, here's the thing is I don't care about that, but I do like the implications that it brings as far as arguments, fights. Like, I don't care if they eat chocolate or beer. It doesn't mean anything to me. But if there's a fight, like, I want chocolate, I want beer, and then this suddenly becomes a huge freaking fight in the house, people are throwing stuff at each other, A+ all for it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Absolutely. It's definitely a catalyst for an argument, 100%. I like that aspect.
Yeah.
Anything that's a catalyst for an argument, I am all for it.
Yeah, well, how about this?
Never put a dishwasher in that house, ever.
Yep.
Yeah. The head of household gets to pick their favorite food, and then everybody in the house has to eat that food the entire week.
Nope. Say that again.
The HOH picks their favorite food. Everybody has to eat that the entire week. It's the only option all week long.
Yeah, one of the many reasons we were deprived of Godfrey being HOH.
And there's no repeat. So like the first HOH says pizza, and now pizza's off the table.
Okay. Yeah, you can't pick something twice. Yeah. All right. I like it.
Okay. Good. But we need more fighting. I agree. More fighting is better.
And actually, on the more fighting thing, here's a twist. Give them more than 3 cans of beer a night.
Yes, get them drunk. Get people drunk.
Yeah, Ari Ferrari was very adamant about telling me to suggest on this podcast that just give more alcohol.
He's absolutely right. I mean, I don't think we need to go back to Big Brother 2 days where they're just slipping them Xanax and hard liquor and knives, but like, seriously, you know.
What was wrong with that?
Would you be mad if I killed you?
Yes.
Seriously, like, you know, I think that if we gave them a case,
let them get drunk enough to spend some in there.
It's out of hand.
Yeah.
Because if someone is doing something dumb and going to hurt themselves, send someone in. It's not that hard. You have cameras.
Yeah.
Like something's going to slip past them. I mean,
you've had
a person put a knife to someone else's throat. How much worse can it get?
How about this? What if we had a security guard who lived in the house and it was like Scotland Yard or Buckingham Palace, and they just couldn't talk. They were just, you have one guy that's sort of standing against the wall. He's a security guard. And if anything goes down, he's right there to make sure nothing, you know, Chef Joe, they get into it. Then he's just going to shut it down. What do you think?
This is the Big Brother version of Steve from the Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Like, and he's just there, that guy. What do you think?
They can be like temple guards, like in Legend in Temple, like the water tates, and he just comes out and stops the fight. That'd be great.
Yeah,
all for this.
I don't think there would be any. Would there be anything wrong with you just have that guy there?
Yeah, because it loses the magic of you don't see another face.
Yes.
What if he was like Green Man from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Or bring back the mime.
Yeah. All right. So what are we voting on here? Okay. So you guys are out on security guard.
Yes, I'm totally out.
Definitely out.
Where are we on? Let's start with shopping task. Where are we on?
Well, what if the security guard allowed for there to be the drinking? What if I told you can have more drinking, but you have to have the security guard?
This is a cruel world that you've set up to live in. I don't want the security guard at all, but I definitely want more drinking.
Yeah. Isn't the problem that some people are going to get unruly?
How hard is it though, Rob? There's emergency entrances to that. I mean, they could send someone in so fast if someone was doing something stupid.
Nothing's going to happen so quickly. They can't stop it.
And they could especially cut the feed before it even happens.
Especially with just natural peacekeepers in the other house guests. Nobody's going to let something escalate. I mean, like, and we're not talking, I mean, like, you're talking about severely blackout drunk, like trying to like murder somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, just like getting drunk enough to ruin your game is fun to watch, you know?
Yeah, that is a plus. I am so into the alcohol. Not personally, but as an idea for being in the game.
Got yes, it. Absolutely.
All right. So what are we voting on, Mike?
Don't take that context out.
How do we feel about do we want to give just axe the shopping task?
I'm out on shopping.
All right. Let's go back to Spencer's cannot. How do we feel about that?
As long as it's reasonable, I'm pretty good.
All right.
Actually pretty good.
Sure.
All right. So cannot is getting a key. Do we want to talk about the security guard thing?
No,
that's out. That's out. Thing.
All right, great.
What if he was in a costume?
There's no amount of costuming that's going to allow me to want a security guard.
Took the penguin costume off the contestants and put it on the security guard?
What if the security guard has to wear a candy cane costume? I'm not interested.
No security guards.
What if the security guard has a power of veto on him?
Yeah, it's hidden on his person.
Tough.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
All right, let's see.
Three more.
Okay.
All right, here's an interesting one from Alex. What about a twist in which the nominee who survives eviction earns a small advantage in the following HOH competition?
I think that's subtle enough to be great, so yes.
Yes, I agree.
A+.
Okay.
It's that's the kind of subtlety we need.
That's the perfect kind of, yes, absolutely.
I like
perfect
it.
Perfect balance. Yes.
I think it's sort of like, well, although now, is it going to now, whoever is the pawn is also going to be a person who really sucks at competition. So now, am I going to put up Victoria every single week because that if they get an advantage in the HOH competition, they're still going to not win it? Is that making the problem worse?
Just surely going to be more useful than others. I mean, that's by accident. So,
yeah, absolutely. So no, I mean I don't know. I don't know if, how that would impact how you decided to play a pawn role out. In all honesty, it could look at the week with that Jordan got blindsided on BBCAN 3. Had he stayed, it would look cool for him to gain an advantage for Newport going forward to win the next HOH. Since
I think people
Zach couldn't play, right. So there's kind of ways that it can be kind of. Cool to think out.
But I think it's just going to lead to who's the person in the house that sucks the most at competitions. Let's put them on the block every week.
The advantage won't help at all. Yeah, absolutely.
Like the advantage isn't worth the risk. A slight advantage in the HOH competition isn't worth my life in the game. I'm gonna put Victoria up every week because she's not going to win the HOH.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, fair enough. But you just don't know. I mean, like. Statistically or however you want to look at it, there's a lesser chance of Victoria winning than anybody else to keep her up there. I mean, that makes sense for sure, but you just never know. And that comes into the Big Brother gods and the beauty of Big Brother. So yeah.
What if the person who survives the HOH has to be the security guard for the week?
Oh, Rob. Here, how about X out of
now,
here?
Now.
Does the security guard have a dog?
Well, yeah, the security guard is a dog. How about that?
Fed to a shark.
That works. That works for
and
me.
The dog is in a costume. The dog is in a penguin costume.
Costume dog, security guard with a veto. Count me in. And more alcohol.
Yeah, perfect. I want to say twisty a season yet and just cut to the shot of the dog in the costume. Yeah.
The dog is a Saint Bernard, but instead of the flask has the tungsten power of Vito.
The tungsten power of Vito. Ooh, it's going to shake up the house.
And then we slime the dog. Okay. Yeah. All right. So what is, Mike, what are we voting on?
So I guess we're voting on advantage in the next HOH competition if you survive the block.
I'm out.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Putting it through.
And someone's going to be dumb enough to go for it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mike, two more.
All right. This one is from Mark Gosselin Levine. The HOH picks a deputy upon becoming HOH.
Is
the
it some deputy, a security deputy?
Oh, this is the Roscoe P. Coltrane twist.
The deputy is immune from eviction, but is a have-not, cannot vote, and cannot compete in the next HOH. The HOH nominates two for eviction, while the deputy nominates a third house guest. The veto must be played, and there is no replacement nominee.
So let me ask, the HOH gives the deputy immunity. Isn't the HOH essentially giving like 12 people immunity every week?
Is this like mafia? Does everybody put their head down and then the deputy then gets to pick the two people that are the have nots and then everybody puts their head back down?
No, I think it's just basically like the HOH puts up two people and they're basically picking a person that puts up the third nominee.
Well, I am out. I am out on the deputy.
I'm so out. No.
I'm out. Yeah. Yeah.
Anything where there's more than one person nominating, I'm not in for.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. What else you got, Mike? Last one.
Right. I've lived through that.
This is one that has been talked about many, many times amongst the Big Brother community. And what a better forum to talk about it. From Michael Grootsmacher, one cool twist I have is that the BB house and the jury house become one and the same. After the jury is voted out, the jurors come right back into the house to observe remaining gameplay and interact/interfere with the house guests. Jury members could also participate in various competitions against or with the house guests, kind of like what we saw last season.
If we didn't even give the jury live feeds, we're going to let them live in the house?
No, I'm sorry. I can't believe I
shut my live feeds down so quickly. But no, cannot do this.
Give us one more, Mike. Definitely. Give us one more.
They're out of the game.
Let me see if I can. Here's an interesting one. And I'm not, maybe this will be an interesting one to end on. Carlos Vidal. Each week, whoever votes in the minority gets to split $10,000.
Okay, I love this.
It's so arbitrary. Okay, so then it becomes basically the minority game. I think that it takes... Ian, play it out.
Because you have people who are greedy.
Yeah, because then everyone wants to be in the minority.
Right.
But then... if too many people do it, then it becomes the majority game. But no, because then I think that the focus of the vote then becomes on the money rather than the actual vote. And I'm going to shoot this one down.
Mm.
Sorry. No, thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. It just incentivizes. No, I'm sorry. Can't do it.
Spencer, where are you on this?
I'm against it too. Like I kind of see where it's trying to go, but I know what people would be doing in that house. They'd just be like, all right, we're going to vote this person out, but hey, let me and Ian vote minority this week, you know, just so we can get this money, you know, or something like that. The next week it'll be y'all's turn, just something. It'd be bastardized so quickly. And
then, I'm not into it. I don't think, no.
Okay.
Just, no.
All right. Anything else that jumps out to you, Mike, that you want to throw out there?
There's an interesting one for the first HOH, which is kind of similar to what they've been doing in Canada, where the first HOH competition is everyone stands behind a buzzer, and basically whoever the first HOH is whoever buzzes in first, but they have to put two people up immediately on the spot.
I mean, it would be a fun first night.
I would be fine. I would actually support as just a nice, I think an interesting twist. There would be night one HOH crowned face-to-face nomination. Now first impressions. I actually think that's actually good. That's a good one to sell as like, hey, it's going to be interesting this year. Like the game is going to be starting right on the first night and you're going to become HOH and just based on first impressions, you make your first set of noms. I'm actually all for that. And I think it's something that's an easy sell that can be advertised easily.
Yeah, sure.
Before we start to wrap up, I just want to take a quick second and mention that we have a survey that our podcast network, Podcast One, has put together at podcastone.com, which helps the advertisers know a little bit more about our show. We always love getting feedback from you guys, and this is no exception. There's a survey at podcastone.com. Your responses are really helping us make the show even better. It only takes about 3 minutes of your time. And we really do appreciate it. So you can tell us how you really feel about the show and help us get to know you better when you take the survey. Podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. And one last, let's take this one last one from the audience. Okay, this is from Leighton Jansen. Reverse Big Brother. Whoever wins HOH gets to grant safety to two people and everybody else is up for nomination.
No, it's just... It's too much away from the main idea.
But then who votes?
The security guard. Yeah. That's the twist.
America has the influence. Like
they think it's America. The House thinks it's America who voted, but it was really the security guard every week was deciding what was going to happen. And then whoever was
the family.
Whoever was a jerk to him, then they're going to always go home.
like on The Family, where they had the. You remember that?
Yes. Yes. Back there. The guy had the popped collar, right? All right. Yes. All right. Well, great job, everybody. I'm very fired up. Very fired up for Big Brother tonight. And then we're going to be back tomorrow with our winner of Big Brother Canada. Sarah is going to be with me to talk about everything on Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific here on robswebsite.com. You can subscribe to the podcast at robswebsite.com/iTunes or on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. All right. So, Ian, what are you doing between now and then? You're going to Korea?
I am going to South Korea, Rob.
Okay. Well, that sounds fun.
Should be fun.
Yes. I bet you'll be hard to get a hold of during that time.
Absolutely will be. In fact, I don't expect Twitter or Facebook to be particularly active. So.
This is going to be gone from like sometime mid-June to like maybe in September.
Yeah, here South Korea is great during that time of the year.
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely.
All right. And of course, you could follow Ian on Twitter. He's at Tulane Terry. And then
are you always going to be at Tulane Terry, or are you going to make up a new Twitter handle?
Yeah, stick with it.
I'm going to stick with it. It's branded. Okay. I'm not going to switch it to, you know. No.
Okay. At Mr. Terry.
And no. And Spencer, when will On the Block with Spencer and McRae be back?
We will probably have something going out this weekend.
Okay. All right. What are you doing this weekend? Just getting pumped up?
Tailgate? No, actually, I'm going to a charity thing in Cincinnati, Reality for Diabetes. It's a lot of fun. Mike from Survivor is going to be there. Mike, Tyler, and Sierra, and Donnie and Christine from BB16, and a bunch of other people. So it's going to be cool.
All right, Reality for Diabetes in Cincinnati, and of course you can follow Spencer on Twitter. He's at Spencer B. Clausen.
That's right. Follow me there.
And of course, Mike Bloom is working on a million different things on post-show recaps right now. You could follow Mike on Twitter. He's at a Mike Bloom type.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great job curating all this stff, Mike.
Thank you. The pleasure was all mine. This was a lot of fun. I'm happy we were able to
This was actually great.
Get a lot of twists down.
Yes.
What are the chances any of these twists or anything close to anything we've talked about will be used?
Let's wait 2 weeks and see. We never know.
We threw a lot of stuff at the wall.
We did throw a lot of stuff at the wall. I think there's a chance we'll be kind of close on something maybe. What do y'all think about that?
I think we'll be close on something. If that Saint Bernard is walking around with the tungsten power of veto, then we'll know.
The past couple of years they've been starting with like two or three twists right from the get go. So statistically, it's slided towards us.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Ian, what's the hashtag tonight?
Tungsten veto.
Tungsten veto.
Hashtag tungsten veto.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. And of course, Big Brother is right around the corner. If you want to get in for our live feed bingo and get your bingo card, you could do it totally for free. You don't even have to get the live feeds from us. Go to robswebsite.com/bingo. All right. Great job, everybody, here tonight. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back with our next podcast with Sarah coming up on Friday night. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.